Hey everyone, this is just a quick aside here for the first episode that we're doing, the catch-up episode. This probably should have went out a few months ago. That's why I'm doing this intro, actually. Just to let you know, we might be doing more of these. This is an episode where we're kind of just farting around, doing whatever. We're not really going to be talking about indie films too much. We're just kind of catching up with each other and just having fun. But I hope you enjoy it. We talk about Bandersnatch. We talk about Fallout 4. I'm trying to remember what else. It's a bunch of goofy things. Dan has a pretty interesting story about his experience at a movie theater. So yeah, hopefully next time when we do the catch-up episodes, they will be more timely. Yeah. Well, I'll see you after the intro music. Bye. Hey everybody, welcome to the Indie Film Review
Catch-Up episode! Whoa!
Catch-Up?
That's right, no mustard. This episode is a little unique. I'm not 100% sure how it's going to work.
Or when we're going to drop it, but
basically, because our regular episodes are shorter now and have less bullshit, we thought we'd move that bullshit to a whole separate episode.
Yeah, so you can listen to it or not listen to it and not complain about it. It's perfect. Totally. But trust me, it will be entertaining because we have lives outside of this podcast, guys. And shit happens.
Shit had happened.
Shit had happened and will happen every single day.
Yes. Hopefully 3 times a day, once after every meal. Because if you're not shitting 3 times a day, Dan, that's actually a problem, and you need to see your doctor.
Really?
Yeah.
3 times. See, I take 2 really big, long ones.
Not normal. Not good.
Oh.
You might have colon cancer.
Well.
No, isn't that weird how you're supposed to go? See, this is the type of stuff we're going to talk about on the catch-up episodes, is whatever we want, basically. We're going to talk about video games. We're going to talk about movies. We're going to talk about how many shits you should do every day.
Yes, the good old days.
Hopefully you like it. We'll see what this is. I don't even know how long it's going
to
be.
Who wants to go first? Who wants to talk about something first? I have movies, or I have a movie, and I have a video game that we can talk about.
Okay, let me talk about my movie, and then we'll do yours. How about that?
Okay.
So I've actually seen a couple movies recently
in
that
the theater or just in general.
Both were not in the theater.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, I feel like I did see a movie in a theater. It's been a while since we have this,
and it's been a while
had this conversation. Yes. but the ones that have happened most recently to me, and yes, these movies have happened to me. I didn't watch them. They just appeared in my life and assaulted me.
Please don't tell me you watched the Time Machine movie without me.
Oh, no. Hell no. So I watched Mandy.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You had told me that you had watched that.
Before I say anything else, are we going to do an actual episode about that?
Would you like to do an actual episode about it?
I think I would.
Okay, well, then we will.
Probably to watch it again to see if my opinion still holds on it. Because it wasn't a very good one.
Yeah, so I've heard that Mom and Dad was better than Mandy. And
what?
Yeah, and being us, we did not necessarily like Mom and Dad too much.
I would say it's hard to compare the two, but I definitely enjoyed Mandy more than
really?
Mom and Dad, I think.
Interesting.
But Mandy is, so the guy who wrote and directed these movies, he did that Beyond the Black Rainbow film, right? That
yeah.
I remember you telling me that movie was very slow and
very
like deliberately
slow.
Paced.
Extremely
right?
slow.
And that carries over with this film. And this director, he's not interested in telling a story.
Right.
And in the DVD extra, because I own this movie on Blu-ray now.
You went out and bought it.
That's the only way I could find out how to get it. And the very first thing the director says is that what I just said is that he builds his stories
as a vehicle to show interesting things that he wants to show. So, like, the visuals are more important to him than what the actual
story
is.
That's exactly what Beyond the Black Rainbow was.
And that's a fascinating way to go about making a film. There's so many elements in the movie that you would think, like, I should like this. But for some reason, the way he put it all together was just either boring or annoying to me, mainly. And I almost want to watch the film again just to make sure.
Well, then we're definitely going to watch it, because I am interested in watching it for sure. Anything with Nick Cage, I'll watch once, I suppose. But
I mean,
I just want to watch it.
Hilarious to watch in the movie.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
Like,
he's funny.
He's a saving grace.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Fair
he's
enough.
Helping. So what's your movie?
I went to go see in the movie theater Escape Room.
Okay.
You know, we'll just fucking do it again. If you are a very underground listener and was listening to us back in the days, you know, whenever we were doing things in our mom's basement.
That other thing.
You'll know that we kind of have this disdain for the PG-13 culture and the fact that everybody wants to get a PG-13 cut because it's going to make a shit ton more money because it's going to be acceptable worldwide. Whereas yes. R-rated features do not. And I feel like Escape Room could have been a lot better of a film if it were rated R, like Cube was. And the basic premise is it is fucking Cube, just use escape rooms this time instead. You still have a psychopathic African-American lead. You still have the girl who...
copy it that much?
It's the girls that's really good at math, except it has that like kind of overbearing diversification process put on it where it's like, let's just shoehorn in all the different races just because. They do take their own stuff and they make it their own in a way, but it was mediocre at best. But that's not why I want to talk about this movie.
Mediocre.
I mean, if you've seen Cube, you just know I have a soft spot for movies like Cube, where it's like, no matter what the fuck it's about, I'm going to watch a movie where, like, they grab five different people, put them in a room, and then they all die. And they have to figure out why they're there. I just like that plot line. So I can watch that forever. But what happened in this theater is nobody was there. And they all kind of showed up 10 minutes late. Like, people were just kind of walking into the movie theater 10 minutes late.
While it's already happening?
It was infuriating, but, like, I'm okay with that. Then about 15 to 20 minutes in, we get neighbors. So one of our neighbors...
Howdy, neighbor.
...is, I want to say, I don't know, 13, 14 years old, little charming African-American girl who has Tourette syndrome.
Really?
So the very first thing that she does at 20 minutes into the film is walk behind me and say, "People, people," and then sit down. I'm like, oh no.
This little girl sounds adorable.
It is adorable, but at the same time, it's
you
want to
watch a
syndrome,
movie, I get it.
And I want to watch a movie, and I don't want to laugh and be insincere and a dick. So it becomes very difficult to do because throughout the film, I keep hearing directly behind me, "Shit!" And the mother saying, no, none of that, none of that. Like, just handling it very calmly. I will give it to this mom. Like, she was fucking great. Mm-hmm. Like, she knows how to, and for the most part, I'm assuming the girl could have been a lot worse. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she listened to her mom. It was really great. But more shit happened a lot. Then there was a time in the film where the... the ripoff of Quentin in Cube, like the psychopath dude, he's that character in this movie is like screaming at somebody and she starts screaming back at him and I almost lost my shit.
Okay, I'll be honest, this sounds like this little Tourette's girl made the film better.
A little bit. It was endearing. It was fun. But I had never had that before because I don't know. I feel like people don't bring babies to movies.
Well, people still bring babies to movies because there's terrible people. But that is very interesting because if you have that extreme Tourette's, like, it's terrible to live with,
sure. Yeah, I bet,
but,
sure.
Like, if I was a grown man with Tourette's and I wanted to go to the movies, that would be so rough, man. Because I would still want to go.
You would feel guilty about, you know, not being able to control impulses.
Yeah. Man,
so I don't
rough.
Know if the girl felt that guilt, But like I said, the mom kind of put the kaputs on it pretty well. It just, it was so silly in the middle of the movie to hear.
Oh, I'm sure she does. I mean, because it's out of her control. It's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
That reminds me of a friend of mine was telling me about a lady who plays video games with Tourette's on Twitch. So she'll play like Fortnite or something, but just screaming obscenities all the time that she can't help. And that just, it sounds delightful.
It sounds, yes.
But also in like an actual real life, if you had to deal with that, it's probably something very difficult. And I think like doing that kind of stuff, like a streamer coming out and doing that, it kind of makes people more aware of what it is. So when you encounter it in real life, you don't like freak out or be an asshole.
There's varying degrees of Tourette's. Like the most recent, yes. The most recent America's Got Talent episode or season had a comedian with Tourette's, and he was really good. Like he knew how to use the disability for his comedic purposes, but he didn't have that extreme of a Tourette's syndrome. Like he was kind of lower on the spectrum, I would assume, is how you would call that.
Yeah, I used to have it when I was a little kid. My eyes would blink a lot, and people would always ask me like, why are you blinking all the time? And I'm like, I can't really help it. But when you're a little kid, nobody cares about what your excuse is.
Yeah.
About why you're being weird. So, and I grew out of it somehow, thankfully. So did you like the movie?
Like I said, it was mediocre at best.
Mediocre.
I wouldn't say I hated it. Like I'd probably like watch it in the background. I mean, I won't go out of my way to watch it again, but if it's on TV, I would probably watch it.
Also, I don't hate PG-13 movies. I think a lot of them, what they'll do is they'll take a movie that should be rated R and they'll turn it into a PG-13 to sell more tickets. But if the film was actually designed around a PG-13 to begin with,
I'll say that this was, you can definitely tell, like, the way that it was edited, it was designed around a PG-13. So it's not like it was R going into PG-13, but you can tell if it were R, it would have been more serviceable to, like, a good film, I think.
Yes, because I still think those types of films have a place, like, in movies and people watching them, enjoying them. A lot of people can. I just don't enjoy them as much as a film that doesn't have that. Like, films should have limits, but not, like, that many limits. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like, if you're watching a war movie and people are getting shot, if like, little rainbows and butterflies shot out of them and they all just kind of like, oh, we fell down, but they're sleeping. I don't know. It gets weird.
That would be fun, though.
Actually, that would be really cool. And, like, confetti shoots out of their heads. Oh, that'd be rad. Okay, so the other movie I watched on Netflix
is
Bandersnatch.
That's a movie? I thought it was Black Mirror. Is it like
a
Black Mirror movie?
It is a Black Mirror interactive movie game.
What the fuck? Really?
Yeah. So you remember those old FMV Choose Your Own Adventure games?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
It's interactive media. It's a multimedia type of deal.
Yeah, dude. But here's the issue.
Yes.
I tried to get to it on my Apple TV.
Uh-huh.
And you can't play it on there. What happens is it'll show a 2-minute trailer and it'll say, find a device that you can play this media on. And it'll show like this icon.
Uh-huh.
It'll say, if you see this icon, that means you can play the media. And I'm like, I don't know what this means. I don't know what this is. You haven't told me any information. So I just ignored it. I was like, I don't know. Because I thought it was just going to be like, oh, cool. This is a Black Mirror movie. I'm like, I want to watch it. And I was like, you can't watch it? I was like, okay, I guess it's not out yet. And then other people at work started telling me what it was. And I'm like, oh, I wish the trailer would tell you what it was. So I loaded it up on my PlayStation.
Uh-huh.
And me and my girlfriend sat down and watched it. We both enjoyed it. She got kind of bored because I wanted to see all the endings. Because I'm a crazy person. So the movie's about an hour long, but you can make it 2.5 hours long if you want. If you want to see all the endings. And you can. I somehow got all the endings and this super secret ending that you can get. It's a pretty fun little thing. I enjoyed what they did. If you think about how Black Mirror is, it likes to play with expectations. You know, it's playing with, like, how technology affects people. It's doing that with the genre of deciding what a character does in a movie. So it's going to be playing on that heavily. And I'd say it's its biggest strength in that respect, and also kind of a weakness because of how blatant it is, I guess.
Okay.
The movie is very obvious about what it's trying to do, almost too obvious.
So it has the character like turn to the camera and be like, what are you going to pick?
It kind of gets that meta. It gets really fucking meta. And it's still enjoy. Like, I enjoyed it, but a little more subtlety would have been nice.
Okay.
Maybe. But,
we like to be caressed, though, as audience members. We like to be acknowledged in this meta world we live in.
It just seems like a lot of films I've been watching recently just spell everything out for you. Like, they don't try to do any symbolism or anything. They're just like, I'm going to turn to the camera and say exactly what is going on.
Are you talking about the film that we just watched?
Maybe. I didn't want to reference it now, but yeah, we'll talk about that later. Was there anything else you want to talk about? Video game or anything?
Yeah. I started playing an old video game now, but Breath of the Wild on my Switch.
Oh, cool.
It's fucking crazy good.
That game is so good.
I don't know, like, how far I am in the game.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how far I should be in the game. I just know that I'm just trying to find some stuff and getting in way over my head with, like, Lionels and just...
Oh, it's the Lion-O's. I love those guys.
They're so... Cool. I mean, I like them too, but, like, I don't have... I feel like I should have more, you know, tunics by now, and I don't. It's getting upsetting. I'm currently in the Goron village, and I have the fire armor, except minus the helmet, because the helmet's like fucking 2,000 rupees.
God damn it. It's goddamn rupee economy.
But I did do the, the puzzles in this game.
Are solid, right? They're fucking good.
Define solid. Like, holy God, are they hard. They're the hardest out of any Zelda game I've ever played.
Some of the puzzles are just finding the shrine.
Yeah.
Like, the puzzle is finding the puzzle.
But I'm talking about, like, because I did the Divine Beast, the elephant one.
Uh-huh.
That took me forever to do, and I couldn't figure it out. And then I had to look it up very, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And it's like, apparently, you can adjust the thing's trunk, and you have to use your map to do that.
So that's a mechanic in all of them. I think there's a way to, like, adjust the animal or whatever. I'm
that's interesting.
Sure.
Because
so just keep that in mind.
I will.
I thought the game teaches you how to do that, though. I don't know. Maybe I just figured it out.
Well, no, because there's a little shrine post that you can go to at the very beginning, and I just skipped it.
So I'm like,
there's a magnetic thing. I know how to do that. And I just ignored the thing. I just completely forgot it was even there. And then I went to all three of them, and then I did the first three, and I'm like, okay, what the fuck do I do now? And I couldn't
figure
it out.
So you've done the first three major dungeons?
No, the first three major things in that.
Oh, in that room. Okay. I was like, damn, you're far into the game.
No, I completed that.
Okay.
But that's now I'm kind of in the Goron city where it would be the second one. But I'm just trying to, like, after that, I'm just going to explore and try to find more shit.
Yeah. So, my opinion, I think the game is really good. I really liked it a lot. What I want next, if they do a sequel to this game, which they have to, is they need to make the dungeons bigger and more expansive and more original. Not just, like, these giant guardian monsters. Because those are fun, but they're shorter than I thought they'd be. And then the only other dungeons you have are those tiny puzzle dungeons, which are also really fun, but if you try to play this game again, it's just the same. Because, like, okay, there's a hard mode, right?
Uh-huh.
And the hard mode's really fun combat-wise, because all the enemies change and all that stuff changes, and item placement changes. But the puzzles are all the same. They're the exact same puzzles. How do you progress in this game? You have to play the puzzles to get the heart pieces or whatever. So, like, that kind of makes the game not fun for me when it's, like, I have to do the same thing as over again. So my first playthrough was fantastic, and then I kind of gave up when I tried to play hard mode. But the game's super solid. Did you play Odyssey yet?
I've played about, I want to say, a third of a way through Odyssey. I just don't own it. I just played it on somebody else's Switch. But once I get it, then I'll have all the save file that I can start.
Yeah, Mario Odyssey is just fuck. It's like my game of the year for last year. It was so good. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Oh, there's so many that are coming out, though, that I would like fucking Sekiro, right?
Is
that
hell yeah, dude. We got Sekiro. We got Resident Evil 2 Remake. We got Devil May Cry 5.
Devil May Cry 5, 100%
yes. Holy shit. There's so many good games. The new Kingdom Hearts I'm going to get. There's a bunch.
You're going to have to tell me about the Kingdom Hearts because I'm not a fan. Like, the last time that I waited 10 years for a game, it was a little disappointing.
Was it Duke Nukem?
No, it was Diablo 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, Diablo 3 was not as bad as Duke Nukem.
It wasn't as bad, but still, like, the level of anticipation just did not surpass what it actually was. So, like,
yeah.
Kingdom Hearts made me very upset because they kept teasing it and kept teasing it.
The story is so convoluted and ridiculous. Like, I only played the first two Kingdom Hearts. I didn't play any of the side stuff.
Yeah, I didn't either.
It just seemed like nonsense. And I'll watch videos people make about it, and it's just, it's gobbledygook bullshit. It's all filler. It's like you're watching filler episodes in an anime or something. It's like, exactly. I don't care. Just get to the next game. God, I don't know. Anywho, I've been playing, for some reason, I don't know why, Fallout 76. Now.
You know, I was talking to somebody, like, we were playing Last of Us, because, like, that's the one game that we have that we can all play.
Yeah, and it's good game. The combat in the game is fantastic.
Well, multiplayer is fantastic. I love it.
Yeah.
But we were talking about, like, he's like, yeah, how has he been? And I'm like, oh, he's great. He's been playing Fallout 76. And then he's like, why?
Yeah, yeah. I don't blame anyone for questioning why I'm doing it. Because it is objectively not a good game. It's not good. But, okay, so here's what happened. Here's how the disease entered my brain. They announced the game, right? They're like, hey, Fallout 76. They got the cool Country Road music. Everyone knows. I'm looking at it going, yes, a new Fallout. So, like, I've enjoyed all the Fallouts except for Fallout 4. I thought, like, I played it and I beat it. But then after that, I was like, this game is very empty. There's not much to do in it. You don't get a lot of armor or weapons. It just feels like they've sacrificed something for that whole customization thing that they were doing. We like lost things because of that. And the world just, there's like no quests. There's nothing to do. So in this game, it's always online, of course, which I hate. I'm not playing it for the online. I ignore all players. Sometimes I will go and find low level players and just give them loot and then leave. Like I don't team up with anyone. I have the chat off because I don't want to hear anybody talking.
Right.
Because that just breaks your immersion immediately. It is actually kind of funny to run into like a high level player and just see their insane gear. And you're like, whoa, holy shit. Like, I think this game would be more fun if, because right now how the PvP works is that two people have to shoot at each other before PvP can start. Uh-huh. But if an enemy or another player could just straight up kill me whenever they wanted, the game would become way more fun. Because it's like super dangerous now to meet other players.
Right.
But you'd also have to like restrict fast travel. Either that or, like, don't tell other players where other players are. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, like, I know where other players are on the map if I look. I think they're going to be doing something like that. Like, have PvP servers. Hopefully they do it correctly. The main game loop of going out and exploring and finding gear is still really fun and enjoyable to me.
Oh, okay.
So that's, like, the main reason I keep going back to it. I like building my little settlement, even though it's, like, just for me, really. And getting all this, like, the blueprints and the armor and the weapons. Because in this game, there's way more armor, way more weapons, way more unique items you can get. The only draw is that downside is no real story. You get all your stories from holotapes and reading notes. Some of those are really good, though. A lot of the side stuff is great. And, there's this quest where you join this group of women who they're called like the Mistress of the Veil, and they're like this superhero team that it has been made after the apocalypse, and they just go around helping people, and they modeled it after this old radio stage play thing of like a film noir type of thing, but it's like this lady. And it's really cool. And you like find it in this mansion. It's like this secret room. You go in there and you're going through all this training to become an initiate. But there's no NPCs. They're all dead. Everyone in the game is dead.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's like,
it sure would have been cool if I could meet all these characters that I'm learning about, you know, and like interact with them and really become a part of this gang. Even though my character's a guy, I think they'd be okay with it. But like, okay, you can join, I guess. Put on a dress, though. They do give you a dress that you have to put on this veil or whatever to actually get in. Anyways, it's almost like once you take away the RPG aspects of the game, all the other stuff like the combat and everything else kind of looks old and dated. And you're like, oh, why did you do this?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
They've removed all the shine from the game. But I will say, in its defense, the world they built is the best Fallout world
really?
That has ever been built. It is humongous. It is varied. It is really cool. All the areas are so unique and fun. And also, like I said, the most amount of weapons, varying weapons, and the most amount of gear and things to get in this game. That's all amazing. Now, if only they made it offline and put NPCs and quest lines that you gave a shit about, it would be the best Fallout ever made. But for some reason, they didn't want to do that because they want to do the monetization bullshit route, I guess. I would have been fine if they just let you do multiplayer. You know what I mean? So, right. Like, if you made a house on a server, I made my house, not even on the server, I could just join your game. And you could just show me your house. I'd be like, here's all my stuff. And I'm like, okay, now let's go on an adventure together. You do the quests. And then you know.
Get more stuff for your house.
Yeah, because the game is basically show off your house and get more stuff for your house.
Yes. It's like Animal Crossing.
There's crafting and making weapons and stuff.
All games are Animal Crossing. That's all we need to say.
It kind of, a little bit. But exactly. A lot of me going through deciding to get the game is I just kept watching YouTube videos of people shit-talking it. And it was almost like I was in disbelief. I was just sad that the game was this bad. And I was in denial. And then eventually I realized I've been going on the forums. I've been watching all these videos. And I'm like, I think I'm watching this because I enjoy watching Fallout. And I'm not learning any new information. Like, I already know the game is buggy and not fun right. for a lot of people. And then eventually I'm like, what? It's like $30 right now. I'm just going to get it. Oh yeah, the game dropped in like price
immediately
in like 2 weeks. So fair the game enough. Is like 30, 40 bucks right now. So yeah, I'm actually having a lot of fun, and there's no other game to play.
As of right now.
Yes. As soon as any other game that's better comes out, I'm gonna drop this game like a bad habit, for sure.
But bad habits are hard to break.
I don't know, man. I don't know why. I'm definitely not gonna ever put any more money into the game, that's for sure.
I wouldn't.
But yeah, that's it.
Well,
I have a problem. I know that. I have a Fallout problem.
Well, I mean, I have a Dynasty Warriors problem. We can talk about that all fucking day. Or like, what else? What
You're
other
right.
games like really?
It's a guilty pleasure. It's absolutely. It's the yeah. best way to describe it.
I really want to play the new Tales game, the old new one, the Vesperia uh-huh. that's coming out. That's like the Ultimate Edition. Even though I know I shouldn't.
That one was definitely the best one.
Really?
Out of those Tales games. Tales of Vesperia is my favorite.
Vesperia sucked balls. So maybe I will give Vesperia a chance whenever it comes out.
So the Tales games, I used to love them a lot when I was younger. And then I kept playing the new ones like Zestiria and Berseria, whatever they're called. And I don't know why. They're so mundane now mm-hmm. to me. I don't know what it is.
But Vesperia has a pretty good story.
I mean, I could have rose tinted glasses on, man. I like I was younger when I played it, and the game was fantastic. I loved it. And I thought the plot and the characters were great. But yeah, the new ones I'm just not enjoying as much. I don't know what it is. The only thing that really saved how I feel about JRPGs recently would be the new Dragon Quest,
yeah,
which is
you
a masterpiece.
Told me about that.
I would tell you to play that above any JRPG.
I probably will soon because it sounds like it's really good for sure.
Besides like Persona. I mean, the new Persona was really, really good too.
But see, Persona doesn't interest me, but Dragon Quest does.
Yeah, dude. You'll fucking love Dragon Quest. It's really, really fun. Okay, well, I think that's it. Unless you got some other shit you want to say.
I ain't got nothing. Let's get on getting on.
So this has been the first catch-up episode. Maybe next episode we'll do mustard. Oh, God. Already made that joke, but it's still funny. It's not funny. I hope you guys liked it. Should we do plugs or anything? I don't know.
Find us at the Indie Film Review. Oh, fuck. No, let's not do plugs because I forgot them already.
No. I got plugs. Hold on. So you can find us at Indie Film Review on Facebook. We are the Indie Film Review at gmail.com. If you want to email us, let us know anything. Hey, let us know you don't like ketchup episodes. Maybe we'll call it something else. We're on Podbean. It's going to be Indie Film Pod on there. And then on Twitter, we're Indie Film Pod, at Indie Film Pod. We're always looking for movie suggestions for any independent film that you have made or that you know about that you just want us to review because you just want us to. Why not? So hit us up with that. And is there a final word on this, Dan? I don't know. How do we do it?
Sure. I love ketchup.
God damn you. All right.